May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 1005. Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. 10,000,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one. Hymn 1005.
Read together from the Holy Word of God in Solomon's Song and chapters 5 and 6. The Song of Solomon, chapters 5 and 6. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers were sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing, whereof every one beareth twins. There is not one barren among them. As a piece of a pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 70 queens and 40 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley, and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will we ye see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God of heaven, we read of thee in thy word, that thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. And Lord, we bow before thee. What a disparity there is between us and thee. Thou art holy, we are unholy. Thou art pure, we are unrighteous. And we feel greatly that disparity as we bow before thee. And we come to confess our sins and our wanderings and our backslidings. We leave undone those things that we ought to do, and we do those things that we ought not to do. We have to say often with the dear apostle, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And the prophet of old declared, and we prove it, Lord, to be absolutely true, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, there is no soundness in my flesh. So we come, Lord, to confess our sins and our unworthiness of the least of thy tender mercies. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then, Lord, we think of those wonderful words of grace. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. We come to thee, O Lord, in his precious name. We plead what Jesus has done. Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. We think of those wonderful words, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. Oh, we do pray that thou wouldst grant us a view by faith this night of the glories of Christ, of the wonders of redeeming love, of the fullness of that salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Help us to press on and to press forward. Encourage us in the way. Help us to cast all our cares upon thee. Help us to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and that we might run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Help us to consider him. Help us to look to him. We think of his words, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is none else. One hymn writer says, O Lord, thou art come into a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. O most gracious God, do incline thine ear, do bless us as we gather, do set our affections on things above. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Let me love thy precious word. May thy word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May thy word be sealed into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We do humbly beseech thee. that it may be with us tonight as it was with the dear apostle, when he could say, "For our gospel came unto you, not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance." We pray that it may be so here tonight, that it may be a sealing time, that we may be sealed as the sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, that the word of the Lord may have free course, that thy name may be honoured and glorified, and that thou wouldst deliver us from all distracting thoughts and cares, and help us to look alone to thee. We do humbly beseech thee. Keep our eyes on Jesus fixed. Do grant, Lord, that it may be so. Remember this church and this congregation. Continue to work mightily among them. Grant that there may yet be signs to follow the preaching of the word. And grant, Lord, as we gather round thy word, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us each, we do humbly beseech thee. We think of those lovely words, "For God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Our Lord, grant that that may be the case here tonight. That sacred sense of the Spirit of adoption. And may we hear that divine call, "Come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." Oh, do grant that witness in our hearts at this evening hour. O Lord, we do beseech thee. My God, my Father, blissful name, O may I call thee mine. Lord, may it be so. Bless our brethren, the deacons. Give needed grace, wisdom and help in all their responsibilities. And we're thankful to see our dear brother here being restored to needed health and strength. Continue thy mercy. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, we do thank thee for that glorious name, Jehovah Rapha. Heal us, Emmanuel, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. We do pray that thou wouldst bless each one of our brethren and sisters in church fellowship, and that thou wouldst grant that brotherly love may continue. May there be that spirit of love, of union, of communion, of known and felt in their assemblies. Hear us, O Lord, we pray thee. We read that how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. O most gracious God, do hear us, we pray thee. Help us to love each other, to serve each other, to bear each other's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. We pray, O Lord, for those that are away seeking rest and change at this time, that thou wouldst graciously be with them and grant that rest and change, and grant that they may be returned home in peace and safety at the appointed time. Grant, O Lord, that the prodigals may return. There are those, O Lord, that have wandered away. We do pray that thou wouldst have mercy upon them and that thou wouldst cause them to wander back. But what a great joy there would be to see the prodigals return. And, O Lord, we do pray for those that are as far from God as sheep can run. May the appointed time roll on apace, not to propose but call by grace, to turn their feet to Zion's hill. Lord, let us see thy goings in the sanctuary. Let us see thy power and thy glory as thou usest to be in the sanctuary. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Fulfill those wonderful gospel promises. I will bring thy sons from far and thy daughters from the ends of the earth. And they shall come from the north and from the south, from the east and from the west. Lord, let us see thy work. Let us see thy power and thy glory as thou usest to be in the sanctuary. And grant that the glory and light of the gospel shine into this village of Swavesey and the surrounding villages and hamlets, and many, many precious souls may yet be gathered in. Arise, arise, O God of grace, into thy rest descend, and thou in the ark of thy strength, and let thy priests be clothed with salvation, and thy saints shall shout aloud for joy. Abundantly bless the provision of thy house and satisfy her poor with bread. O Lord, we do beseech of thee. We pray for the little ones and the children that they may be richly blessed with the fear of the Lord in their young and tender years. We pray for the young friends that they may be brought to living faith in Jesus Christ, that they may become true followers of thee, and of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Fulfill that wonderful promise. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. O Lord, do hear us, we pray thee, for thy great name's sake. And O Lord, we do pray that thou in thy great mercy would remember all in the midst of the journey of life, especially, Lord, remember parents that they may be enabled to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Deliver us from the temptations of Satan, whether he comes as a roaring lion to devour, or whether he comes as an angel of light to deceive. Lord, we need thee to deliver us from his power. We are no match for this enemy. And we plead that wonderful promise, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Oh, gracious God, be with us each day by day. We do humbly beseech thee. And, O Lord, remember those of us that are in the evening time of life's journey. Remember, O Lord, us as the outward man perisheth. May the inward man be renewed day by day. And may we each be prepared for thy heavenly kingdom. We do humbly beseech thee. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst remember all thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine upon the walls of Zion. That thou wouldst set them free and at liberty. That thou wouldst open the word. That thou wouldst grant signs to follow the preaching of the word. That there may be a spirit of power. Oh, do hear us, Lord, we humbly beseech thee. Return to Jerusalem with mercies, O Lord, we pray thee. And graciously pour thy spirit upon thy servants. And we pray thee, the great Lord of the harvest, that thou wouldst send true labourers into the harvest, that thou wouldst build the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, we do pray that there was remember the little causes of truth up and down the land. Wherever thy gospel is preached, wherever thy servants stand, pour forth thy blessed spirit. We do humbly beseech thee. We see so much of the spirit and power of Antichrist in the day in which we live. We pray that thou wouldst hear the cries of thy little remnant, the sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land. That thou wouldst graciously again revive and renew thy church and bless thy people and save thine inheritance. O Lord, we do beseech thee. We thank thee for all thy tender mercies. We thank thee, O Lord, that thy mercies to us are new every morning and great is thy faithfulness. We thank thee, most gracious God, for the glories of Christ. for the wonders of redeeming love, for the fullness of that salvation that is in Christ Jesus. We thank thee that he is the way, the truth and the life, and that we come to thee in his holy name. We thank thee, O Lord, for the holy life he lived as a man, and thereby fulfilling thy holy law for thy people, and bringing in everlasting righteousness for them. We thank thee for that glorious everlasting robe of Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. We thank thee for Gethsemane, where the sin of the church was laid upon him. We thank thee for Calvary, where sin was put away. He took our sins and nailed them to his cross. He suffered, bled and died for our sins. But he rose again for our justification. Help us to think on these things, of the wonderful glories of Christ. We thank thee that he has bodily ascended into heaven. And we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. O Lord, we do desire, as we come into thy courts, to lift a note of praise and of thanksgiving for all thy tender mercies. Be with us now, Lord, as we turn to thy word. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. Make up in giving where we do so fail in asking, as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us continue by singing hymn 854. Jesus, Lord of life and peace, to thee we lift our voice. Teach us at thy holiness to tremble and rejoice. Sweet and terrible's thy word. Thou and thy word are both the same. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we love thy holy name. Hymn 854.
Thank you.
Greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attentions to the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and I will read verse 13 for our text. Solomon's Song, chapter 6, verse 13. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will ye see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. This is a beautiful song. It's called the Song of Songs because there's no other song like it. It demonstrates in sacred, holy, human Jewish poetry, the love of Christ to his church and the love of the church to Christ. The church views the Lord Jesus Christ as the altogether lovely one, as the chiefest among 10,000. All our hopes and all her desires are in him. So this fundamentally is a song of love. And the union between Christ and his church is a union of love. You think of those wonderful words of grace in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And here in the beginning of this beautiful song, the spouse, she says, draw me, we will run after thee. That's the language of a living soul. Draw me, we will run after thee. And, you know, friends, do you feel this love? We read in the first epistle of John, we love him because he first loved us. And the faith of the Lord's people, I think it's in the Colossians, he says, a faith that worketh by love. That's the difference between a natural faith, an intellectual faith, and the faith of the Lord's people. And the intellectual faith or natural faith, there's no love. There's no real union or communion. There's a profession of the name of Christ. There's a profession of the loveliness of Christ. But there's no real experience of divine love in the heart. It's an intellectual faith. There's no feeling in it. How many have just an intellectual faith? But the faith of the Lord's people, it works by love. There's union. There's communion. And that's what this Book of Solomon's Song is all about, is union and communion. And that desire for union and communion. We read here in verse 10, who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? As a question, who is she? One hymn writer says, this is the spouse of Christ our God, bought with the treasures of his blood. And this looking forth as the morning. With every true child of God, there comes a time when the Holy Ghost quickens their soul into life and brings them to living faith in Jesus Christ. Teaches them, guides them and directs them unto Jesus Christ. And when Christ is revealed, as the morning. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? It's the dawning of spiritual life in the soul. And the looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How many of you can come in there looking unto Jesus? How many of you come here tonight and you're looking unto Jesus? And you desire to know him as the author and finisher of your faith? Who is she? It's the spouse. It's the bride of Christ. It's the church of God. You know, in reality, all these different souls that are brought by the Spirit's inward teaching and power to living faith in Jesus Christ and become followers of him, they are all one. They're all one. Isn't that very beautiful? I have a feeling we mentioned it last week when I was here, at that beautiful prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17, and how the Lord Jesus says in verse 21 that they all might be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That wonderful love of the Trinity. The love of the Father. The love of the Son. The love of the Holy Ghost. These three are one. It's one love. Now, the point that we want to make here, if you look at verse 9 here in this chapter 6, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and concubines, they praised her. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. One in Christ. Eternally one. In that union that was made in that eternal covenant, ordered in all things and sure. It was decreed and purposed that the bride of Christ, chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, sanctified by the Holy Ghost. You see, this is the person that we have in the text. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. The term Shulamite means a citizen or inhabitant of Salem. That's the meaning of the term Shulamite. You remember that Melchizedek, king of Salem, because later it was to be Jerusalem. So it's speaking of the daughters of Jerusalem. O Shulamite, O inhabitant of Jerusalem. And how often we read in Holy Scripture of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Not the literal Jerusalem, but the spiritual Jerusalem. The Apostle says in Galatians, Jerusalem above, which is free. Which is free. And we read in Holy Scripture of the living in Jerusalem. The living in Jerusalem. O Shulamite. Daughters of Salem, the city of peace, beautifully displaying the everlasting love of God unto his church and unto his people in the city of Jerusalem. And we read in scripture of the heavenly Jerusalem, which of course is heaven, it's eternal glory. And doesn't the apostle in Hebrews chapter 12, he speaks there so beautifully of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of Zion. He speaks of what they are delivered from and what they are looking to. And he says to them, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire." That's Mount Sinai, the law given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. It's the mount that might be touched. But he says, "You're not come unto that mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight." And Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." But he says, "You're not come to Mount Sinai, but you're come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus." What wonderful words, is it? "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." The blood of Abel cried for revenge. The blood of Jesus cries for peace. It speaketh better things than that of Abel. You see, my beloved friends, these things are written for our instruction in the way of righteousness and truth. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. The Shulamite. Are you and I among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem, the church of the living God? One of the daughters of Salem. Now, whether it's Christ speaking or the church, it's actually quite difficult to know. Is it the church speaking to her fellow believers? Or is it Christ speaking to her? It's quite difficult to discern. Return, return. There's a great emphasis. Four times we read, return, return. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. Now, return in many places of Holy Scripture, it means repent. To repent is to turn to God. The actual meaning of the word repentance is literally to turn right round. The apostle in one place, he says repentance toward God. And that is what repentance does when it's wrought in the heart by the Holy Ghost. It's one of those precious graces of the Spirit that he places in the heart, and it turns a sinner right round. It's repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And those two graces of the Spirit, repentance of faith, They come together. They never come isolated. You can't have repentance without faith. Nor can you have true faith without repentance. They absolutely go together. Indeed, all the graces of the Spirit. I should never forget, many years ago now, reading William Gurnall's Christian in Complete Armour. And he was speaking there of the graces of the Spirit. And he made some comments there that I've never forgotten. One comment he made, these graces never come in the singular. He said, the graces of the Spirit, like the fingers on a man's hand. He said, if one is missing, the hand is incomplete. And if one of those graces of the Spirit, whatever those graces may be, of course, there's the grace of faith, there's the grace of repentance, there's the grace of humility, there's the grace of patience. These are precious graces that are given by the Holy Ghost and brought into exercise in the soul of every true believer. They are brought to repent of their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks, doesn't he? John the Baptist, what was the beginning of his ministry? You can read it in the Gospels. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At the beginning of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, exactly the same. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in the preaching of the apostles, in the Acts of the Apostles, it's recorded. And what was the burden of their message? Repent ye. Repent ye. The Lord Jesus Christ. He says, doesn't he, about the tower of that was fell upon those people and they were destroyed, and the disciples questioned him and the people questioned him. And he said unto them, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That gives us, my beloved friends, the importance of what repentance is. Except ye repent, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Repentance is that wonderful grace of the Spirit that turns us away. It's a wonderful thing when it's wrought in the heart. You know, when we were perhaps under those first movings of the Spirit and we tried our hardest to make ourselves better, to improve us. You thought you couldn't come to God in this wretched, sinful state that you're in. And so you tried with might and main to improve yourself, to make yourself better, to make yourself more acceptable to God. Sinner, you'll never do that. That's an utterly impossible thing to do. You may try. You may try hard, you may try long, but you'll never accomplish it. The only way that you and I are brought to forsake sin is by repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you and I can ever be delivered from sin and Satan's power. We need repentance. And that really is what is speaking of here, return. And what an emphasis. This is to the daughters of Salem, to the church, to the spouse. What had happened? She'd wandered away. Have you wandered away? She'd backslidden. Have you backslidden? No longer burns our love. Our faith and patience fail. There's a message here. Return, return. Oh, that the Lord would work precious faith in your hearts and real repentance and godly sorrow for sin. That godly sorrow for sin, some people make the mistake of saying that that godly sorrow and weeping is repentance. No, it's not. Repentance is literally when the soul is turned round to face God. The fruit of repentance is godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. Mourning, grieving over our sins and after him. You see, the spouse, she had known what it was. Look at the description we read in chapter 5 of our Lord Jesus Christ. She'd already known what it was for her beloved to be made so precious, for him to become the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000. My beloved is white and ruddy. It's striking, isn't it? The first thing, white and ruddy. White represents the holiness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ. That's what it represents. My beloved is white. Ruddy represents his precious blood. This is beautiful poetical language. His precious blood. So the first thing that she sees in her beloved, the blood and righteousness of Christ. That is what is so attractive to her. And that is what she's after. That is what she's looking for. My beloved is white and ruddy. Oh, that holy life, that glorious righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ becomes extremely attractive to the living soul. Because she has no righteousness of her own. That precious blood, it becomes supremely attractive to the living soul. She needs that precious blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that is what the spouse needs. And that is what she needs here in this condition that she's found in here. And the exhortation. Return. Return. O Shulamite, return, return. There's a double emphasis. Return, return. That we may look upon you. That's what makes me feel that it is the church that is speaking to her fellow believers here. That we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. I think it's William Gadsby in one of his hymns, doesn't he? In every believer, two armies are seen, the new man of grace and the old man of sin. It says in another one, doesn't it, that one in sin is bold, the other's from sin set free. There's a great paradox in every believer. There's the old man of sin. And there's the new man of grace. The apostle says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for the one is the contrary to the other. The old man and the new by no means can agree. No. Has it? What shall we see in the Shulamite, in the daughters of Salem? We shall see this conflict, this real conflict between the flesh and the spirit. You know, that's very beautiful, the way the Apostle Paul sets it out in Romans chapter 7. Concerning this conflict in every true believer. And in the various situations that the true believer is found. When your flesh wants something. But your spirit, the new man, knows it's not good. So the new man will speak to the old. And he will say it's not good. But the old man wants it. starts pursuing after it. And this is what causes the conflict. The new man knows it's wrong. It's not according to the spirit of faith. The apostle in Romans 7, and he says, but when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, but I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. All manner of lust, that means. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. That's the law of the Ten Commandments. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was it then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear to be sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now this is where he speaks of the conflict in the heart of each true believer. The Shulamite, in whom there is as a company of two armies. For that which I do, I allow not. So the flesh does something, but the spirit says no. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And you know, friends, this is the great trial of the true believer. Sin dwelling in me. It is. It's the great burden of every living soul. Sin dwelling in me. Now listen, there's a difference between sin dwelling in me and me living in sin. Now the devil will try and persuade you that they're the same thing. No, sin dwells in you. Sin lives in our old nature. And it always will be. And it won't die until we die. No. That old man of sin, which is corrupt with its deceitful lust. And where does it bring the dear apostle? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And with sin dwelling in you, and with this constant experience day by day of the rising of sin within and the corruption of the heart. You know, when I was in my early spiritual days, I used to think I knew a lot about conviction of sin. Do you know, friends, I didn't know hardly anything. No. When the Lord really reveals to us what we are, I feel more now the corruption and sin of my old nature than ever I have. And that makes me feel worse than I ever have. How many of you here in this chapel can echo to that? You feel worse than you ever have. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that's what the Lord teaches us. So in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. What is produced in our flesh is sinful. It's corrupt. Everything that we touch, we make it sinful. We make it corrupt. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And this is this conflict, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. You see, there's this terrible conflict. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, and this is the burden of the true child of God continually, when I would do good, then evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, that's the new man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he comes to those such well-known words, and how we find more and more we have to use them. O wretched man, O wretched man, that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I remember not too long before I was brought into Gospel Liberty, and there's a word in Ezekiel that used to walk up and down in my soul. And I was in great darkness and bondage at the time. Turn again, O son of man, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And every time I turned again, I saw greater abominations. Until I remember seeing so clearly that all the sin in the world, all the wickedness, all the immorality, all the unrighteousness, the seeds of it were all in my heart. I'll tell you what, friends, this teaching, experimentally known in the heart, will cut down Pharisaism. It does. You've got nothing to boast about. And you really, that teaching brings us, like Top Lady speaks in that well-known hymn, nothing. And that's a low place to come. It's not often that we're really truly there. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. O wretched man, that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It was a great burden. The apostle, he likens to this body. There was a very cruel, barbaric punishment that the Romans used in the days of the apostles. And that was when a man was convicted of a certain crime. I don't know what that crime was. But the punishment was, they took a dead corpse and they literally tied it to that man's back. And wherever he went with the stinking dead corpse, he had to carry it everywhere. And the apostle uses that as an illustration of the true child of God. The true child of God carries about with them a dead corpse, a body of sin and death, corruption and sin rising up within the heart. O wretched man, that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. This is really what is found in our text. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will ye see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. In the original Hebrew, those two armies are Mahanaim. Mahanaim, two hosts. When the Lord met with him, and there were two hosts of angels, and he called the name of that place Mahanaim because of those two hosts of angels. And here with the spouse. You see two hosts, the old man and that old man. Now, you know, when that word in Ezekiel walked up and down in my soul, it was one line of a hymn that showed me, the Holy Spirit seemed to seal it into my heart. Nor can I promise future good to bring. Never forgotten it. And what the Lord showed me at that time was that I was trying my hard. I'd been in the way some 8 years at that time. I was trying my hardest to please God in the flesh. But in that one line of that hymn, just opened to me. Your flesh will always be your flesh. It will never, ever get any better. It will always be sinful. It will always be corrupt. However it decides to clothe itself, whether it's in self-righteousness or whatever, it's always sinful. It's always corrupt. And it will always weigh down on the spiritual man. We have to carry about with us a body of sin and death. And we mourn and we grieve over that sinful, corrupt nature we have. And that old nature will not die until you die. You'll always carry it. You'll carry it to the grave. And then you'll be forever delivered from it in eternal glory. Those of you that have been brought to living faith in Jesus Christ. So we have here, my beloved friends, a divine call. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return. Such an emphasis, isn't it? That we may look upon thee. What will ye see in the Shulamite? That's in the daughters of Jerusalem or Salem. As it were, the company of two armies. How many of us here in this chapel tonight know this conflict? There's a very solemn searching word in the book of Psalms. They that have no changes fear not God. That's a solemn word, you know. Some people, they have a religion and it's always wonderful and light and bright and everything glorious, and they praise the Lord and they live to the Lord. You never hear of any inward conflict. You never hear of any mourning over sin, over the corruption of the heart. It's always the same. They know nothing of this conflict. But the Shulamite, among those that are the living in Jerusalem, they know this conflict. They know it day by day. And you know, I remember reading Philpott in one of his portions, he speaks, and this is what it's like with us. He said, you can be at the top of the stairs, you get up in the morning, you feel the sweetness and power of divine love in your heart, and you feel Christ to be so precious. He said, you walk to the top of the stairs, and by the time you reach the bottom of the stairs, you're plunged into darkness and bondage, sin and corruption in your heart. He said, you change just like that. But that's what it's like with the true believer. But the wonderful thing is that the Lord will deliver us finally and eternally. He'll deliver us from the bondage of sin and corruption. And he'll bring us into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the body of the believer, it is sown in dishonour. A sinner, dying because of sin. It is sown, that is our body. It is sown in dishonour. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam, that's Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man, Adam, that is of the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add his blessing.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Pocock is expected to preach next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 211. 211. Now to the power of God supreme be everlasting honour given. He saves from hell, we bless his name. He calls our wandering feet to heaven. Hymn 211.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.